But Brett is an empath here, like you mentioned. The cameras are on, and he is not backstage at the Grove of Orange County with Big John playing a rocket show. He's on national television, so he says he loves that she misses her son, but he's not sure how long she can last in this crazy house of rock.
There's a lot of stuff on TV, but not all of it's good. In fact, a lot of it's bad TV.
Hey.
Hello.
Bad TV in your ears. I'm Dylan. Saddled up next to one, Pat Hickey.
Hey. How are you?
What was up with that?
It was a little tepid. I was going to talk to the audience because I'm so happy. I'm getting the number reports in. It turns out bad TV's taking over the world.
It was only a matter of time, you know? What do you mean by taking over the world?
The numbers, they're going up.
I know, but I told you that I didn't want to do this kind of...
Well, I want to let the audience know they're on the right track.
I don't want to take over the world. I don't want aspirations that big, grandiose, and evil. And you and me need to kind of work that out. Luckily for us, we're not yet at that stage, but the numbers are going up. We can't thank you guys enough. Get in the iTunes ratings and reviews. Leave 5 stars, kind words. 5 stars, kind words. Join us on Patreon for ad-free episodes, live watch-alongs, Discord benefits, extra content, movie podcasts, PMZ. That's it. And join us on Facebook. It's a great Facebook group. The numbers are going up there. That's a fun community. We'd love to have you there. So we have, we're off the heels of a great episode of Rock of Love. Mm-hmm. We talked to Christia Bonita, and we are going to line up some more interviews with more rock rats. I mean, I don't know what you call them. Contestants, past contestants on VH1's Rock of Love season one with Brett Michaels.
From 15 years ago. Half of them are real estate agents. I'll just...
and half of them are also in porn. So we are going to break down episode 5. What are we at?
Four.
Lot of tears tonight.
Oh, man.
And we bid adieu to one of the front runners of this competition.
Oh, yeah.
Who has a Joker-like mental breakdown this evening. But that is what this environment of glugging limoncello and squabbling with other rock rats will do to you.
Dylan, I'm going to send you a photo.
Yeah.
I'm going to send it to your phone here. I just want you to look at this right now and then describe what you're seeing in the photo.
Okay. Oh, and also, I promised that we would highlight some good reviews. So this is an amazing review.
Oh, nice.
From somebody named David C. Waller. 5 stars, titled Kind Words, Body, Kind Words.
That's it.
Incredible review. That's literally all we need you guys to do. That is a perfect review. A 10 out of 10, no splash.
We know how busy you guys are. You don't have time to start like making sure you spelled something correctly or you have correct punctuation.
So what you have sent me is truly horrific.
We're going to get into that.
It looks as if there is
the photo I say
a network of worms underneath the forehead.
I love that. That's the way that you are describing the photo. Yes, I'll get to it.
I didn't even know we had that many veins up there.
Dylan is describing Rodeo's face in a fit of sorrow about her kid that she abandoned to be on this masterpiece.
It's very sad, but it does have a Freddy Krueger kind of cadence to the texture of the skin. I mean, it's really, really disgusting, and I feel really disgusting talking about it. So let's get into the show. How many poles do you give it?
Okay, really fun episode.
And we wouldn't flame Rodeo like that unless... we had reached out, said we were fans, said please come on the show, and she
watched
sent
her read our Instagram request.
She just ghosted us and then sent us some digital brochure on yachts. And when we followed up and said, hey, would you like to come on the show? Just ghosted us again. So Rodeo is, we're not a big fan of Rodeo.
I think she's a little manipulative too. There was a part in this episode where she was rambling one of her incoherent thoughts.
Yeah.
And you could tell it wasn't in the house, it was after post, and
sure.
You could tell she was looking around at the producers that were just confounded by what the hell she had just said.
Yeah.
And I think she was like, did I do a good job? No, you didn't.
Do I get a treat? Mm-hmm. Do I get a beer? Do I get a beer now? All right, go ahead.
All right. So I enjoyed the episode. You know, I had forgotten, you know, Brandy, the Barbie doll girl, she had made such a splash on this reality TV show. Mm-hmm. I never thought that she exits this early in the competition. She is only one episode after Christia. That blew my mind. Because I always remembered her, you know, because, you know, she is a Barbie twin. She's the only one left. And she does look like a Barbie doll, but one that the family pet chewed for a while and then dropped in the pool.
Sure, sure.
Oh, boy, we're being mean right out of the gate here, Ben.
Well, and...
you can't say it's not true, though.
I may have to bleep this, but somebody said that she was an adult actress. So I, being a creep, went on the internet and looked it up. And she... I mean,
is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's revolting because it's just kind of, you know, I mean, we've gotten past that aesthetic fad, right? The platinum blonde kind of thing.
Fake so boobies.
I'm not really into that kind
That's
of thing.
That's not your thing.
My God, can that woman... It's like a it's like a goddamn dodgeball coming off her head. What the fuck, man?
What's her name? Her porn name?
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Did it just say Brandy from Rock of Love? Wow. The thing follows you around forever.
Yeah. Mm. You know those little, those like firecracker things that you throw on the ground?
Yeah.
That's what it was like. I mean, it was just, it came pop straight. I mean, this woman can really...
Yeah, one of my issues with porn is when you find a talent,
yeah,
and you know you like their talent, and then you try and seek out other content,
yeah,
and they go up and fucking change their name,
right?
You know,
what are you doing trying to dust up the trail we got on you? Don't drag a rake behind you. We're trying to support you. It's fucking bullshit. How many polls?
100.
Did you just say that?
Yeah.
All right, my bad.
Okay.
I thought tonight was a really fun episode, mainly because we got to see the musical talents of the women.
Oh, yeah.
Cast on the show. Really, really fun episode. We also got to venture into one of my favorite parts of Hollywood across the street from the legendary Musso and Franks is the what was in vogue at the time, Ashton Kutcher's sushi joint known as the Geisha House. I also love that the women are gifted. How much is a Fender?
Well, that looked like a low-end Fender. They could be like $170.
Okay, like $175. What a gift. Also
provided by Guitar Center.
Right, provided by Guitar Center. A lot of fun stuff tonight. I don't remember any of it, but I'm going to go ahead and give it 97 pots.
Okay.
So, you want to kick things off?
Yeah, I would love to. It's merely minutes after Dallas and Christia have been tossed off, I guess, the backstage house. Right, because that's what they're all fighting for. And the ladies choose to drown their sorrows in that demon juice.
Limoncello.
Yeah.
Can we really quickly talk about the rock structure that is at the front facade of this house?
Yeah.
I don't understand why it is.
Now, when you say rock, you're talking about the scaffolding of a live concert that does not happen.
It looks to be sterling silver scaffolding in the front of this house. And there are these shots, like the episode kicks off with helicopter shots of downtown Los Angeles with a quick dissolve to this hunk of shit in Thousand Oaks.
It's in Van Nuys, actually.
It's all Los Angeles. It's all Los Angeles. But yeah, it's just really bizarre that it was like, let's construct this giant fucking stage with no stage in the front of the. It's so weird.
Well, I also like the branding. So outside of this rock star's door, bedroom door, is the letters... B.M.B. And one would ask, why the third B?
Bedroom.
His name's Brett. No, it's Brett Michaels Band. That's the logo. So they got so lazy that they just printed the logo off his tour bus and grafted it onto his fucking bedroom.
Oh, I think it kind of makes sense because it's Brett Michaels' bedroom. So B.M.B. Brett Michaels' bedroom.
They probably said, a producer probably said, bedroom. Great job, Seth.
Right.
You're hired.
That's why we pay you the big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And the big bucks are $68,000 a year.
Now, I was going to say, Dylan, pick up here. The ladies are all fucking drinking away.
Yeah.
And of course, because two of their friends were just eliminated. And the house is also filled.
Patrick.
Yes.
Sisters.
Sorry. Two of their sisters have been eliminated. The house has been filled with threats and physical and verbal abuse for weeks.
Sure.
And the more important reason, it's a day that ends in Y.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all their fathers bolted when they were 14.
Well, so right.
Which cuts pretty deep.
Yeah.
And drowning in the sauce is a common coping mechanism.
You know, Sheryl Crow was wrong, or whoever sang that song was wrong. It's the 50th cut that is the deepest.
Right.
It's the 50th cut.
The first one is not that deep.
No, it's not that deep. Dad runs out. He's back in 3 days. You wonder what's going on. The 50th time that happens.
Right. Yeah. Or the 50th time he calls and says he is showing up, and there you are by the doorway with a suitcase to go hang out with Daddy. And then there's a phone call, and your mother answers it. She seems disappointed, and he tells you and whispers quietly and sadly, yeah, he's not coming again.
You hit the home run at T-ball, right? Mm-hmm. And he wasn't there to see it. And neither was Mom, because Mom is, she's drinking. So you get a ride home. The first time that happens, it's not that deep. But it gets deeper the more and more you go.
The eighth time it gets really
deep. Yeah, exactly. So, Rodeo, as the women are blacking out around her and cutting themselves on broken bottles of limoncello, is reminded about how much she misses her son. This will be a through line throughout the episode, but Lacey sees this. And who, I mean, let's just say it. We're a little nasty today, but I mean, what? Just kind of an evil cunt.
Oh my God. Strategy, strategy, strategy.
She goes and grabs Brett, thinking that this will be Rodeo's demise, but it does not work that way. Brett likes a woman with a sizable clitoris who could beat the fuck out of him, and he likes that she is connected to her family.
Yes, this kind of backfires, but I will say, it kind of doesn't, because I don't want to get ahead of myself, but who gets tossed at the tail end of this episode?
Sure.
Lacey, you are a evil genius. I do want to say this, because I'm always trying to be a problem solver. You know, I was like, hey, all right, Rodeo's upset, obviously. She wants to be with her son. Fuck it. Why don't we let him live in the house with everyone? And then I thought, bad idea. It's just a moment, a minute, just a... it's just a matter of time before one of these gargoyles tries to get drunk and fall on his dick.
You're drunk on aspartame right now.
Yeah, I've been drinking too many sodas. Hey, another thing.
Two Diet Pepsis and a Diet Dr. Pepper,
mm-hmm,
which I think there can be an argument made that Diet Dr. Pepper is the king of diet sodas.
It's delicious.
Diet Coke is... It's tough to unseat that.
Yes.
Just because it's such a mainstay. But I do think if we blind taste tested people, I think Diet Dr. Pepper would come out on top in this kind of study. All right.
So this is why we thought that Brett would initially come out and go, you know, he'd scoff at this. He'd be disgusted at the thought of a downhearted single mother. You know, he wants, you know, her brain in the right frame of mind, yeah, you know, taking shots off other strippers' tits.
Right.
Talking to him over a plastic phone and telling him that she wants to suck his game.
Fuck yeah.
His dick.
Yeah.
But you got a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that could ruin all that. But he shocked me by this. And I think it's only because the cameras were rolling.
Yeah.
Because if this was the backstage, he'd say, Big John, get her out of here.
Yeah. And I love how he has daughters, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope there's some hell being paid back to him for all the damage that he did in the
80s. I hope they're like Georgia O'Keeffe kind of poets that hate their father. I hope that. But Brett is an empath here, like you mentioned. The cameras are on, and he is not backstage at the Grove of Orange County with Big John playing a rocket show. He's on national television, so he says he loves that she misses her son, but he's not sure how long she can last in this crazy house of rock. So Brandy C is not happy. She's trying to suck Brett off, but Big John is there.
Can't let you go in there.
Run interference.
All right, look here.
No. Got to bleep that.
That's what Big John sounds like. That's why he talks to the ladies. And it's only because of the cameras that he's on his best behavior.
Yeah.
But, you know, at their prime, when they were playing, you know, two nights at Madison Square Garden, by the way, with no taking a curtain and taking half the place.
Did they ever do MSG?
What's MSG? Oh, I bet they did. In their height?
Yeah.
I bet they did. They just fucking played a stadium tour. I mean, they were a supporting act of Motley Crue, but...
Yeah, okay. So let's get to the day-date.
Next day, where we got to set up the next morning, the day-date. We hear the ladies are woken by a heart-blowing...
Patrick, I know that I have not done that fantastic a job at hosting mm-hmm. today, but I don't want a little blip in my performance... to render your faith absent in my ability to make a Bob Dylan joke to set this whole thing up.
I apologize.
I mean, my God,
have
man.
At it. Have at it.
He's like, see, he sounds like Bob Dylan with that harmonica. And everybody's like, what's that? They go in there and he's fucking sucking that thing down, blowing a bunch of shit out. And he goes, we're going to make music today. Go ahead.
Well, I am the resident musician expert here, Dylan. It is not John Popper.
What are you talking about?
Well, I went to school. I got a bachelor's degree.
Who gives a fuck?
Well, I'm able to assess talent here.
I can assess talent.
All right.
I could be like Blades and assess talent with the best of them.
Well, fair enough, Dylan. May I continue? This fucker's on the skill level of Alanis Morissette.
Oh, yeah.
What he's performing on there is not a chromatic harmonica, okay, in which the legends like John Popper performs on, which are single notes that you perform, but he is playing a keyed harp, yeah, which is one key, which is actually technically just three notes.
Right.
The first, the third, and the fifth.
Yeah.
No one can fuck that up.
Thank
it's
you.
What Alanis does at the end of that stupid song, which is just, as you pointed out, sucking in, blowing out, sucking in, blowing out. There's no skill set there. Brett sucks at harmonica too.
So was the chromatic one the one that Bob Zimmerman was blowing down when he went?
If you're doing like trills and you're spinning around there with the harmonica as opposed to you're hearing chords, then it probably is a chromatic.
Okay,
yes.
Got it. So
wasn't that helpful to the audience to differentiate between a chromatic and a...
Well, I don't think so. And you called John Popper a legend, which is just dumb.
He plays that harp pretty well.
So they beat this out. They're going to be pairing up and they're going to making songs because music is Brett's life. Coincidentally, also Kawasaki motorcycles and fucking damaged women.
They're his life.
That's the triforce of Brett Michaels' essence.
Man, I just want to pop.
Yuck. Oh, gross, right? Yeah.
She's getting there. I just want to pop.
Oh, gross, though. Wow. Ugh. He looks like an amphibian.
He's gross.
He looks like an amphibian draped in denim and tie-dye. It's disgusting. So Lacey's going to rock this. She's a touring musician, she says. And Lacey, you can't keep saying that. You can't keep telling yourself that. She keeps saying, this is what I do. And it's not, because you wouldn't be on the show. Well, maybe, but still, no. So the songwriting begins and Rodeo is excelling and is fairly confident she is going to win Brett's ass. She's getting really, really... We'll get to that in a second. So Sam has been writing lyrics and blood since she got here. Magdala and Heather are not vibing. And Jess and Brandy are doing the worst because all they do is smoke cigarettes. Now back to Rodeo and Mia. Rodeo is pissed because this bitch, Mia, is taking out the lyrics that she has penned about their children. Like this. I will love you like an endless rainbow and sunshine with our LA kids in the sandbox. I want to fly. And it really is kind of like Elton John is scribing this music. She deservedly is protective over this poetry. I don't blame her an inch.
You just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for
Yeah, that was that. About
Dare I
out.
Say one of the great delivered lines in cinematic history?
I could imagine writing it and thinking it's funny, but that's where the actor comes in.
I think he was like a writer at SNL or somebody.
He had to be.
It was just they chucked him up there and he just knocked it out of the park.
I think when I watched that movie, just that part alone, I probably rewinded it back for 10. That's the joy of comedy. It's the same as the Will Ferrell falling in the pool, old school bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's those moments that get captured in time.
Iconic laughs.
We've rolling over with a group of your friends in a dorm room and laughing. Yeah, I just love that scene.
Yeah, and the reason why Dewey Cox is the greatest comedy of all time is because it is peppered with those moments. Not quite as iconic as Will taking a dart to the throat, but there are these moments that are just so funny. I have to do a public service announcement. If you haven't seen the film, you have to watch that film. I mean, the thing kicks off with such a great laugh. They can't find Dewey Cox, and he is found at the basement, the the bowels of the stage leaning up against a wall. And when the guy tells him he's got to go on stage, Tim Meadows interjects and says, Dewey Cox has to think about his entire life before he goes on stage. And that kicks us into the film. It works narratively. It works comedically. It's just such a genius movie. I love that fucking movie. Let's talk about Rock Love. So Rodeo's flipping out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rodeo's slipping out.
Well, yeah, she's going to, as you pointed out, she's going to win Bret Michaels' ass. Yeah. And to do so, she'll have to include the word kids in the lyrics. Yeah. I want to point another thing out with two people composing music.
Yeah.
Jess and Brandy, they realize they're fucked. And I did appreciate this. Lots of Siggy and smoke breaks. And they have no musical skills and they have no musical talent. So they state, in fact, that their only talents are, in fact, drinking and smoking ciggies. And I thought, wouldn't that be great if that's actually on your resume and a manager like, I see here you smoke and drink ciggies. And your mission statement says you'd only like to lay on a couch all day and drink and smoke ciggies.
Yeah, and that CV is actually handwritten on a stained piece of legal pad.
And he's like, well, we'll look over your resume and we'll see if the brand Applebee's is interested in, in your talents.
Right.
Smoking and drinking.
Does this say spits often? It's a little tough to read. Did you write that you spit a lot? Yeah, I do. People piss me off.
That was under special skills.
Yeah.
I hate resumes. I hope I never have to write another one.
I don't think you will.
That's the time. That's like when you show up to the library and you pull out that long thing in the drawer that has all the cue cards in it. That's gone, right?
Right. I think so. I've been to a library in ages. And people are like, you need to stop buying new books. You need to go to a library. And it's like, I'm not going to a library. And also, I want a collection of books. I think it's good to have books around. They speak to the room.
Yes, they do.
Mama Meebo, let's get to the performances. So Richard Blade, Pat, who the fuck is this guy?
Glad you asked, Dylan. Okay, so he was a radio DJ for a number of years on a couple Los Angeles radio stations. I think his last stint was on K-Rock. The guy at some point said, I'm retiring. There was a big to-do. I mean, we had Robert Smith from The Cure come play his last show.
Wow.
His whole plan was, I haven't lived enough life. I'm going to move to Hawaii with all my money. I'm going to buy a little area where I rent surfboards for the locals or the tourists or whatever.
A hippopotamus.
He lasted about a year and he was back on the radio.
Got it. Yeah.
And then thus here on in the Rock of Love.
Well, when you are addicted to the juice, you got to drink the juice. You can't go to Hawaii and crack open coconuts. That's not the right kind of juice. That's water. So he missed a life of playing for people each and every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Rage Against the Machine, Korn, Foo Fighters. Maybe like a Mars Volta song every once in a while, but really not. Really?
Dylan, with K-Rock, do you ever hear...
Oh, Chili's. And then it's rounded up by the Chili's.
All right, so that's funny. I don't know if I told you this
bit. We've done this bit plenty of times. Because we live in Los Angeles and we've tried to turn on K-Rock many times. And we've heard... It's from Californication. It's not my favorite record and you guys keep playing it.
It's not even close to the Chili Peppers' best record. But if you go to this one station, if you live in Los Angeles, if you turn it on at any time in the day, they will only be playing one of five bands. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Sublime. Foo Fighters.
That's right.
Weezer.
Right.
Or Green Day.
Those, you list three of my least favorite bands of all time.
I don't need to hear any of those bands ever again.
Sublime, the Foo Fighters, and what was the other one that you said?
Weezer.
Never play them around me. If I'm in a place where I'm comfortable, I will actively turn it off. If I'm in a place where I'm slightly uncomfortable, I may request to have it turned off. I have sat in restaurants before and I have asked them to turn the music off and I have not gotten good service after that, and I'm fine with that. I'd much rather have bad service than have to listen to Weezer throughout my meal.
Yes, or at the very least you can say, "Do you mind turning it down?" And they won't. They'll say, "We did, we turned it down." No, you didn't. My eardrums are being blown out and I'm at a steak joint. I went to Michelli's. There's two locations.
I don't care about Beverly Hills. And that guy doesn't want to be in Beverly Hills. No. Beverly Hills is stuffy. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Well, you were at the Michili's.
Oh, I walk in there with my family that's visiting, and what they do is they have aspiring actors that are waitress or waiters, and in between
waitress or waiters,
waiters and waitresses.
Okay.
And I guess the big deal is you get to go to this restaurant, and in the center of it, every like 10 minutes, one of them goes up and sings like a Broadway tune or something. So I got there with my family, and all I said to the guy who's been working there for his entire life, I said, "Hey, if you don't mind, could we be seated a little bit away from the stage? It gets too loud." And he said, well, that's what we kind of do here. Yeah. I was just like,
yeah,
I know. And sometimes it gets loud and I just not like to sit next to a speaker, you fucking asshole.
Right. Well, thank God at that meal, you were at least listening to show tunes and not the music performed by the Rock Rats of Rock of Love.
Nice and gooey.
So first up is Lacey and Aaron.
Circus Hooters.
Heather and Magdalena are up next. Brett says, she sounds like a drag queen.
Like she has a cock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you like it, Brett?
Jess and Brandy are up next. Now, we spoke of them with their sloppily written CV on yellow paper, highlighting their talents of spitting and smoking. With them not having a musical bone in their body, I felt as though they did far and away the best job with this test.
I think production helped out the edit to make it look better than it actually was.
Okay, because if I'm Blades, I got my own two eyes, my own two ears, my own two heads. I am looking at this and I'm going, this was the best with what they had.
Yeah.
You guys shouldn't attempt to sing. Just get up there, rock out, punk out, have fun.
Yep. Be on time. You know, they were syncing up well.
Rodeo and Mia are up next. Now, Rodeo is starting to give Brett the ick because Brett does not want to hear about that fucking peen softening shit about kids. He he wants to pop. He doesn't love his kids. He doesn't care about her kids.
I'm about to pop right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking at Magdalena. Sure, she's got a cock. She's turning me on. I'm about ready to pop right now.
I'm going to pop. Oh, my God. It's so yucky.
It's his white egg.
So he asks why they went with a rock song instead of a ballad. He asks this of Bia and Rodeo, like there is some kind of fucking answer to that fucking question.
She answers.
She says that, this answer is really kind of an insight into a grown woman in the throes of a full mental breakdown. She says that she wanted to sing about the kids. He is not close to popping. He's got the ick. So we end with Sam and Brandy. The song is about blood and skin and fallen angels. And Brett says, cool. What's up with the whole blood and slaughter thing? It says, I think I'm going to have to deal with some trust issues later on down the line.
Yeah, the chorus, the lyrics were blood, lace, and lice. And when asked, she says, you know, I just don't fucking trust you, Brett.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you're going to be out of here pretty soon.
And then
the drunken Barbie doll that looked like she chewed on a toy. I'm sorry. She was eaten by a dog or something. She's so fucking tone deaf. She doesn't even understand. She's on her way out, too.
Yeah. She absolutely is. But... No, never mind. So, it is true what Sam is saying, that she doesn't know if she could trust him and that he might be a fucking liar who's only interested in popping, rather fixated on it. But Brett don't play that shit, so I am not thinking that Sam is going to get very far in this competition unless she takes him into a public restroom of whatever their event space they're at for the next challenge and sucks him off.
Yes.
If he pops, then
she can stay. You can get a backstage pass.
You can get a backstage pass.
I gotta pop first. Brett Michaels needs to pop.
Oh, my God. So we get to the awards and the critiques. The one I want to highlight is Rodeo and Mia. Blade asks Rodeo about the lyrics and she says kids get it. Brett says, truth be told, she had a fucking anxiety attack last night.
Brett. Yeah. It's a little inappropriate to be sharing.
I think she was confiding in you, but Blade says, I didn't know about that. Little piece of advice. coming from somebody who has played a rotation of Weezer, Sublime, the Foo Fighters, Chili's, and Weezer, and Sublime, and Foo Fighters, and the Chili's over and over again. Don't bring that into this room because it's really giving people the ick. You're creeping people out.
100%. Back to Brett being a big mouth, though.
Yeah.
You know that's not the first time that he's called someone out and he doesn't realize it's inappropriate.
Right.
Like, there was that one time he was in Milwaukee on tour, and the next morning a girl has, like, a cough or a sore throat, and someone's like, "What happened to you, T?" And he's like, "Oh, her throat hurts because she was sucking my dick all night."
Hey. Too much, man.
It's him, TMI. You know, I want to know who the winners are?
No, I'll say it. The tie. Heather and someone win, and Sam and Brett and someone else win. That's how you host. So we get back to the house. Rodeo is in the midst of another breakdown. Rodeo wasn't trying to be advantageous or use the memory of her children, who she is not with. All she was trying to do was incorporate the kind of love that she has for her sons into the thing that she arguably loves more, which is rock and country. And she says, "That's why I wear this hat.
Stupid hat."
Yeah. Well, she did say that. She was crying and vascular. She was crying and vascular. And she said, "I love country and I love rock, and that's why I wear this hat." Now, if that could be a throwaway, but if you're hearing what I'm saying, on this show, you have a woman who is having a mental breakdown. She's drunk. She's vascular. She's saying, "I love country and I love rock, and that's why I wear this hat." And she is not kidding about it at all.
Not at all.
And she's blowing us off in the DMs, sending us digital brochures of fucking yachts. I mean, the woman has, she's gone AWOL.
All right, Dylan, you know I don't like to critique someone's, what's happening with their face or something, but this is where that visual aid is needed. We'll probably pop it up in the Facebook group. Bad TV. That's why you got to sign up.
Yeah.
Rodeo is inconsolable. And as you pointed out, something about worms, her face does look like earthworms are trying to escape her face.
It looks like those little dudes from Gulliver's Travels are doing a cat's cradle under the skin. Yeah, the Pooshians. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks like they are. And listen, I don't want to keep doing
it's
this.
It's terrifying.
It's gross. And we shouldn't mock her for this. But she did leave us unread and then sent us that brochure on yachts.
So... Fair game.
We got a pop too, you know? Me and you got a pop too.
Man, I got a pop right now.
Oh my God, that's so gross.
By the way, Brandy, she has no empathy for Rodeo at this point. You know, she's like, "Hey, I left my fucking cat," you know?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Same thing.
That's right. So they go to the Geisha house. This is across the street, like I said, from the Great Musso and Frank's. The Geisha house is the pinnacle of Chug. The Geisha house is defunct. No longer there, I don't think.
I have the article of it closing, and the article is titled "Geisha House to Sleep with the Fishes."
Yeah.
Now, my store was 2 blocks from the Geisha house.
Right.
Okay. I happen to know a lot about this location. It's owned by the Dolce Group that had a ton of spots in the mid-2000s to the 2015s.
What's the street? Winslow? Is it Hollywood and Winslow or something like that?
It's like Cherokee. I think Cherokee and Hollywood Boulevard. Yeah. Just a massive... Dylan and I went to one in Silver Lake for our Christmas party a couple weeks ago. It's like, how does a restaurant sustain the size of this operation?
I'll tell you how Bakari does it. They serve shit food, really quick made shit food, but you're in a massive treehouse. You're ripping shots of tequila.
You can see the hills with all the lights on.
You can see the Silver Lake Hills. It's just, you're not too concerned about the food. And sure, it's weird that they have rock shrimp. You're like, what is going on here? Why do you have popcorn shrimp? That's like a TGI Fridays kind of thing. But yes, a Requiem plays for the Geisha house.
Yeah. So this guy, Lonnie, He you know what the whole bit was, and you mentioned Ashton Kutcher. That was his whole business model. He goes to all these A-list actors. Yeah. He says, "I'm the guy, restaurateur. I need $500,000. You're going to put your name on this. It's going to bring a bunch of your celeb friends in."
Yeah.
And in reality, the place is going to run out of money after about 18 months. The celebrity's never going to see a fucking dime back.
How long did that restaurant last? A couple years, right?
4 years.
Yeah.
Longer than most, actually. You know the average life expectancy of a new restaurant?
6 months.
You got it. Ding, 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 ding.
The margins are too thin.
3%. They were 6 back then. Cut even thinner now with inflation and all. Hey, you want to talk about Heather?
I thought it was 33%. We've gotten to this argument before.
If it was 33%, Dylan, I'd be in the business. No business makes 33% unless you're direct to consumer hawking some
oil
fucking cookies you sell
oil
online.
Makes 33%.
Well, maybe them, yeah. But they've been around for 1,000 years, you know. The Illuminati and all that, controlling all that shit, they have that figured out. But just some, you know.
The Illuminati has not been around for thousands of years.
They haven't?
No.
At least you don't think so.
The tendrils of secret societies have been around for a long time.
Well, that's
time.
What I meant, a group like that.
The Illuminati was cooked up on Jekyll's Island in the 20s.
Oh.
But it's interesting because what are the roots of it? What are the roots of Moloch worship? You know, because that's an ancient practice. The Luciferians are fighting with the Molochians right mm-hmm. now, actually, in a battle for really the fate of man. And people aren't paying attention to it, you know? What is the Grey Pope doing? We don't know. What are the Jesuits up to? We're not sure. But what is going on is a Dan Brown kind of deep state battle between these dark entities. And God, you got to hitch your wagon to one of them. And I just don't know which one to hitch.
Dylan, live a simpler life and let your life pursuit be, I just want to pop. I'm going to pop. Isn't it a simpler life?
No. It's not a simpler life because the people who go up to Bohemian Grove, why do they go up there? Why do they bow to the altar of Moloch? It's because they want to pop. Dude, did you see the body cam of Paul Pelosi?
No.
Oh, my God. It's the craziest thing. I got to show you when we get off air. It's okay. So funny.
Is this the DUI arrest?
The hammer guy. It's the hammer fun time. It's like the cops show up, and it's like you catch kids drawing on the walls in crayon, but it's this weird, like, tryst, but it's one guy with a hammer, and Paul, it's so funny. We got to talk about Rock of Love. All right. So we get to the geisha house. They order food, and he gives them guitars.
Well, also, there was that engaging discussion of Heather's trajectory and
that's
fucking
right.
Sally Mae, that loan company, man.
Yeah.
Driving poor saps to fucking have to dance on the pole for 4 years to pay that indentured servitude to the man.
To the man.
So Heather says she's only got 6 more months
on
the pole.
So they can take it, launder it, clean it up, and give it over to fucking Turning Point or Charlie Kirk.
Ain't no politics.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's definitely right, though. That was a joke about the political... We shouldn't talk about politics. I'm sorry. I might even cut that. That's how not divisive we want to not
be. We need everybody
be.
Under the same tent, Dylan. We need to be unifiers, not dividers.
You know, we're not here to divide. We're here to pop. We're here to have a good time and pop. So Brett is here. The chief popper is Brett. He is like, it's cool and all sitting here with you talking about how you're not going to be a stripper no more and looking at you and wondering if you have a cock.
Hi, Brett.
But let's go get in the limo. Let's rip some shots and let's pop. And that's exactly what he does. Mm-hmm. They get in that limo and he gets so tanked, so torqued that they get back to the house and he cannot stand up. Now, this is good news for Brett because this is what Brett wants to do. The other women see that he is
vulnerable, I think.
Vulnerable. And they pounce. Now, we should never paint Brett in that light because this is what he lives for. So he's not refusing a foursome. Any which way, any happens, never is he going to do that. And that's exactly what happens on VH1's Rock of Love. Brett Michaels has a foursome with a girl named Brandy C, a girl named Lacey, who is a touring musician, and a girl named Heather, who is a stripper. Oh, and also, Heather just takes her shirt off right when they get home.
Back to the house,
yeah. Her boobs are just out. And if you go on YouTube, the uncensored stuff is there. Like, I don't get why you can't curse in the first 10 minutes of a YouTube video or you get demonetized or shadow banned or whatever, but Heather's boobs could just be on YouTube. It doesn't make any sense. Pat, go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, we think there was a foursome had, but the next morning, they wake up.
Yeah.
Brett's hungover.
Yeah.
Brett's concerned this partying, this whole party business is killing him.
Yeah.
And Brandy's pissed. She says, and I quote her words, these whores snuck into Brett's room and tried to fuck him. And then how will Brandy combat this? Answer, She tells him it's time to get down and dirty. I think she's going to beat him at their own game.
Well, and also, Jess is like, I don't want to kiss him if he's been eating your box.
Well, that's a direct quote. Things get intense when Lacey comes out, and one of the inquisitive ladies, I believe it was Jess, says, in fact, asks if Brett ate her box.
Yeah, did you eat his box?
A little decorum, ladies, please. A little decorum.
Yeah, nobody is speaking in double entendres here. They're just asking pretty, you know,
straightforward questions.
Pretty straightforward.
Someone you're going to
Did he eat your box? Did he pop last night? Have I run it into the ground? Because I don't want to run it into the ground because it's so funny. So we go on a little horse trotting date, I believe. Rodeo is devastated. She's crying again. She's vascular again because her dream date was to ride a horse on his land. And she's crying and she's crying. And I was thinking, like, Rodeo, you shouldn't be upset because you're not riding a horse on his land. You would have been riding a horse on Paramount Ranch, because while Brett Michaels' pool is big enough for a jet ski, technically, your pool is big enough for a jet ski.
Yeah, that's true.
His house, his estate, there's not enough room to have hooved animals on it. It's just not that big of a place. So what happens here? They go around on horses.
Yeah, and then they sit down for a nice picnic, and then Brett takes Sam off.
Yeah.
Oh, well, some more guitars are distributed for,
exactly.
By way of sponsorship of Guitar Center.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. I bet this is going to butter you up. Okay, so Brett and Sam go chat so he can learn about her mind, his words. Sam tells Brett that she has trust issues because her dad cheated on her mom, and she's pretty sure he ate Lacey's pussy last night.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a pretty good concern. Brett counters this by saying, hey, look. I'm just like you. Okay?
My
parents got divorced when I was 14.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can't understand that, maybe you're not the right girl for me because you can't trust me as a partner.
Right.
Now, Brett, he used the word trust. I guess it's being tweaked a little bit to mean when I'm eating someone else's ass, you join and eat my ass.
Right.
Or you're going to have to go stand in the back of the bus and muffle your ears.
The Human Centipede had not been filmed yet, and he was already innovating on this level. They get back to the house. Pat, who goes home?
All right. There's eight passes left.
Who's not getting a backstage pass?
Oh, well, Brett immediately says, hey, we're going to switch things up tonight. All right. All right, Rodeo, come down here.
Yeah.
As one of these horrible Poison songs plays, he says, you need to go. And then she leaves. And he walks around.
Every rose has thorns.
This brings Brett to tears. Maybe they were piping his horrible music through. Got him in a moment.
Just like every night has its... What is it?
Every cowboy sings a sad, sad song.
Same sad
every, song. You know, this is my friends in the eighth grade when this came out were making fun of how dumb those lyrics were.
Yeah,
how smart you are when you're 13. Yeah. So Brett is fucking crying, and he returns crying, and he tells the group, and I quote, this is the hardest thing I've had to do in a while. And then he reflects for a minute, and he says, well, there was that stripper that was too high on coke, and she refused to move in front of the bus, so I ordered the bus driver to run her over.
Despite the wheels being extremely thick, we could feel the crunch of her bones, and I did feel some sort of way. That some sort of way being I was about to pop. But I felt really bad about it afterwards.
But other than that, this is the hardest thing I've had to do in a while.
I may look like a lizard, but I am a human. I have a heart. So he sends Rodeo home, and he blindsides the audience with the departure of Brandy C, whose rupturing of their love. I just don't think the lenses captured it. This was completely out of left field.
She will not rock his world, and she will not get a backstage pass.
So they take a break and from the drinking, and they drink water tonight, and Lacey says that she is going to stop focusing on partying. I was like, oh, that's really great, Lacey. And she says, I'm going to instead focus on taking each and every one of these
bitches down.
So we'll see what happens next week. iTunes ratings and reviews, leave great reviews like the one we talked about earlier. We love you guys for supporting the show. Please share it. Please join us on Patreon, and we'll see you next week. I'm Dylan saying goodbye. Pat, say goodbye.
Bye, guys.
right, you want a mimosa?
There's a lot of stuff on TV, but not all of it's good. In fact, a lot of it's bad TV.